Well, this morning our family sat in the living room together and opened the Christmas gifts that our children were so eagerly anticipating, which means that last night we were both up late fielding concerns about how they couldn't sleep due to their excitement in the morning to come. And this morning, many people around our country are unwittingly participating in this rehearsal of the Christmas story, a representation of humanity receiving the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on the first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. Yesterday, on Christmas Eve, we emphasized that the wait is over for this gift from heaven, that God is fulfilling the promises that He made long ago to send His gift, who would be Emmanuel, who would be God with us to save us from our sin, that the gift from heaven would be good, perfect ruler and shepherd of our souls, and that the gift from heaven would be the very Son of God. And on Christmas Day, we're going to focus on the sender of this marvelous and unparalleled gift, God the Father, and the reason why He sent this gift from heaven of His Son into the world. On Christmas Day, we give the gifts that have been bought and set aside for each person. And again, the reason we do that is a reflection of a rehearsing of God's gift that He gave to the world in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we've heard that Christmas is a celebration of this wondrous gift, but now we ask why. Why did God give the gift of His one and only Son? To answer this question, we can summarize it in one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, of John 3:16. Now, if you're like me and you didn't grow up in the church, you might have a vague idea of how well-known throwing up the John 3:16 sign is. Like everybody else, when I watched a sporting event, you know, there could usually be spotted somebody in the crowd holding up one of these signs. I had no idea growing up that it was something from the Bible. It's like, this guy, John, is really excited about himself. He wants everybody to know. As far as what the 3:6, I thought maybe it was a ratio. Maybe that's his scale. I don't know. It's an odd scale to use. I had no idea, let alone how incredibly important this message is. Or that it is a statement that even clarifies the message and the meaning of Christmas, to make that connection. Even more daring among those wanting to bring the message of John 3:16, didn't necessarily get their message across, which must be disappointing considering some of the lengths they went to, given this man's efforts here, a way which I wouldn't recommend, but... But what is the message of John 3:16 that is so important that someone takes the time to make a sign and bring it to a football game, or who is willing to apparently be imminently tased running across a field to get this message across? What is so important to proclaim? And how is this message related to Christmas? It's the message of the Father's love expressed through His giving. I'm sure many of you know this verse already. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And so God's love for the world is not a passive, inactive truth. The love of God is not that He set the world in motion as a cosmic watchmaker and then took off, and is no longer involved in the world. That's not the love of God. But the love of God is active in the world. His love is so active that He would give the gift of His only Son in order to restore the relationship that was severed by sin and to give eternal life. Christmas is a profound celebration of God's active giving love in order to redeem the broken, to restore the lost, to reconcile the transgressor to God. And we give to one another because God gave the gift of His Son to the world. By the gift, we understand the love of the giver. This might seem like a hair-splitting distinction, but the word "so" in "God so loved the world" would be more literally translated in this way. But why does that matter, you ask? Well, "God so loved the world" points to the degree in which God loved the world. He loves the world so much that he sent his Son, which isn't wrong. That is very true. But more accurately, it reads, "For in this way God loved the world, that he sent his only Son." Do you see the difference in that distinction of words? John isn't communicating how much God loved the world. It's pretty self-evident that he must love the world a whole lot if he's going to send his only Son into the world. But he's saying that God loved the world, and this is how he showed it to us. It's in this way that God loved the world. He's not answering the question of how much God loved the world. He's answering the question of in what way has God loved the world. If God loves the world, how has he shown it? He sent his one and only Son. We don't need to wonder if God loves us. We don't need to wonder if God loves the world. He has already shown that he does by giving the gift of his Son. On the first Christmas, he gave beyond anything that we could ever ask or think or imagine. To those who have accepted this Christmas gift of Christ, those who are called Christians, the journey of faith is now one of continually grasping and trying to understand this love of God. That's what it means to walk by faith. In Ephesians 3, 17b to 19 says, "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Long ago, there ruled in a faraway land a wise and good king. He loved his people, and he wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very, very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity, saying, "I am your king." The king thought that the man would surely ask for some gift or some favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others you have given your rich gifts. To me you have given yourself." The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you and me. And the Bible calls him the inexpressible gift. John 1:14, "The Word," that is God himself, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the word "dwelt" comes from the same word "tent." He set up his tent in our midst. He took on the tent of human flesh and dwelt in our midst. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And God so loved the world that he has given the gift of his Son to make the glory of God known, full of grace and truth. And through the Son extends invitation to the people of the world to become partakers of his fullness of eternal life through faith. And what do we give in response to God's gift? If God so loved the world in such a way that he has given his one and only Son, how are we to receive and respond to such a wondrous gift? Simply, we are to believe. "Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." It doesn't say whosoever works to earn this gift will not perish. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say whoever is a really, really good person compared to someone else will not perish but have eternal life. But it says whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Elsewhere, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he has sent." To unwrap the gift of the first Christmas is to believe in the gift that God has sent. To put our trust in Jesus, who is the demonstration of the love of God, not only in his coming to the world, but in the unsurpassable love that he showed by giving of himself, by dying on the cross, for our forgiveness, that we would have eternal life. And I just want to close with this poem by Jenny Munson. It's part of your bulletin as well, called "The Greatest Gift of All." The greatest gift given long ago wasn't wrapped in paper or tied with a bow. God's only Son from heaven above, given to us straight from his love. Lest we forget, please hold on tight to the great truth brought on that night. His gift of love for all to receive, the gift of salvation to those who believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wondrous gift of your Son. This gift that we could do nothing to earn. Lord, that we could not work to purchase for ourselves. We thank you for this gift, that in this way you have so loved the world. We thank you that Jesus came not as just an observer of the world, but that he came with a mission to redeem, to mend the broken, to heal the hurting, to reconcile those separated from you by the deceptiveness of sin. Lord, that he took our transgressions upon himself on the cross, the punishment that we deserved, that he triumphed over it by raising from the dead. And Lord God, that he is now at your right hand interceding on our behalf. Lord God, in this way you have shown your love to us. We need not wonder, does God love me? Lord, for you have so wonderfully declared in all that you have done that yes, God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life, an eternal life of peace and joy and hope and love with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this wondrous gift. In Jesus' name, amen.